mission of Singapore at the 59th session of the UN Commission on Narcotic Drugs in Vienna.
This week, I learned about drugs in school, about their harmful effects and how to say no to drugs. There were also other anti-drug events in school, where I learned more about how dangerous drugs can be.
Why can't you just be like other normal kids who don't give any problems to their parents?
Speaking of safety, I used to wonder how we keep Singapore safe from drugs. That was how I learned about our laws against drugs. It's not just about catching abusers and traffickers.
Higher risk abusers are admitted to the drug rehabilitation center.
We are at the opening plenary of the 2016 Commission on Narcotic Drugs, where governments are preparing the outcome document for the United Nations General Assembly Special Session on Drugs, which will take place next month in April in New York. Last time the General Assembly met and discussed drugs 20 years ago, they gathered under the slogan, "A drug-free world, we can do it." Unfortunately, the latest draft of the outcome document is rather disappointing. It still reconfirms the commitment of governments to create a society free of drug abuse, which is clearly a utopian target.
There is a deepening gap between reform-minded countries and conservative countries.
Albert Einstein said that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again when expecting different results. In spite of the validity of this affirmation, that is in fact what we have been doing for nearly 40 years now, since President Nixon first declared the war on drugs. Yacid Reyes Alvarado, Minister of Justice from Colombia.
There is a conclusive scientific evidence that harm reduction saves lives, improves public health and public safety. It's extremely important that we state this in the UNGAS outcome document. In the view of the Czech Republic, no outcome document at all would be better than a weak outcome document for UNGAS.
Svatopluk Nemeček, Minister of Health, Czech Republic. I would like to clearly state our position regarding the numerous appeals about legalizing certain drugs. Our position is that any relaxation of the international drug control system will lead to tragic and disastrous consequences. Viktor Ivanov, Director of the Federal Narcotics Service of Russia.
How do you see the future of international drug control?
Steve Rolls, Transform Drug Policy Foundation, United Kingdom.
The tensions are growing, and at some point something has to give, something must break. The consensus around a kind of global drug control model that we've had for the last 50 years is clearly broken. It will either collapse dramatically or it will just drift into irrelevance unless it can modernize and evolve and reflect the needs of member states. And that is going to mean evolving and modernizing to allow a greater spectrum of experimentation with different models, including legalization and regulation, but also some of the more acceptable forms of reform like harm reduction and decriminalization.
Khalid Tinasti, the Global Commission on Drug Policy.
I think that there is a big danger to really weaken international law at the end, because countries are going to move away from the conventions. If we open the conventions today, do we have enough power, or do we have enough representation, or do we have enough appetite among member states and among each government in the world to have a better text?
You know, some people say that we need a new drug convention. Other people say that it's not important because we can move in within the flexibility of these conventions. What do you think about it?
Marco Paduca, Nonviolent Radical Party, Transnational and Transparty, Italy.
These conventions should be deleted at once. A new convention, why? I mean, do we have a convention on tobacco? Do we have a convention on alcohol? They are poison? No. These are medicines, we are told, but it can also be used in a different way.
Yesterday, Mr. Baron,
received from the International Narcotics Control Board said that the legalization of non-medical use of cannabis is not in line with international conventions. And as we know, several states of the United States made the recreational use of cannabis legal for adults. So do you think that this is not in line with the international law? And if it's not, what the U.S. government is about to do with this problem?
Press conference of the United States of America.
The government of the United States believes that we are still in compliance with the three international drug control conventions. The conventions do not require or obligate any member state to criminalize and prosecute individuals for consumption of any particular product. The conventions recognize that member states have different constitutional systems and allow those constitutions to have an impact on how they will carry out their treaty obligations.
The INCB is saying that what's happening in the U.S. that's within or that's not in line with the conventions. The U.S. government's position is that it is. What do you think?
Steve Rolls again from Transform Drug Policy Foundation, United Kingdom.
I'm not buying the sort of brownfield concept that you can somehow have a flexible interpretation that will allow you to legalize cannabis or legalize and regulate other drugs. The conventions are very clear that you can't do that. I think it would be better if countries that want to explore cannabis regulation just come out and say, we are out of compliance with the treaties. This is why we have done what we're doing. It's to protect the health and welfare of our citizens. And we will make efforts in key multilateral forums to resolve the tensions that this is creating.
You mentioned there is an ongoing opioid epidemic in the U.S. with several victims of overdose. And some NGOs and even a mayor in New York State proposed the idea of opening supervised injection sites to tackle this problem. And there are several such facilities in Europe. What is your government's position on that?
We were very happy to see that Congress, after decades, reversed a long-standing ban on federal funding to support syringe exchange programs. You know, we have not taken a position on safe injection sites. I think we're very interested to see what happens at the local level with this. Not only do we need to think about how do some of these interventions reduce harm from infectious disease, but really provide a vehicle for people and motivation for people to access treatment.
So far, harm reduction as an expression is missing from the draft document of the INGES. What do you think about it, and why do you think it's important for your region?
Oan Quat The High, International HIV-AIDS Alliance, Vietnam.
It is a disappointment that harm reduction is not included. Harm reduction is a critical for our region to stop HIV transmission, not only among people who use drugs, but from people who use drugs to the general population.
Simon W. Beddow, India HIV-AIDS Alliance.
The words harm reduction being mentioned there would specifically mean that then governments would have to implement the 9 interventions of WHO at least.
Peter Jablonski, director of the National Bureau for Drug Prevention in Poland.
Harm reduction is a part of the modern human-oriented drug policy, which works perfectly concerning all topics and all aims of the public health approach.
Anne Fordham, International Drug Policy Consortium.
On Monday, a group of around 200 civil society organizations and networks from all over the world released a civil society statement raising some very serious concerns, both about the UNGAS preparations and process, and also about the current draft of the outcome document. And the General Assembly agreed the words harm reduction as far back as 2001 in the Political Declaration on HIV/AIDS. So why those words can't appear now, it's slightly baffling.
Deborah Peterson-Small, Break the Chains, United States of America.
We should be making stronger demands. To me, it's great that people want alternatives to incarceration, but let's challenge the idea that it's appropriate to punish people for drug-related behavior, period. So I feel like it's our job as advocates to stay ahead of that. And one way that we do that is by continuing to engage with current drug users. I don't think that we can ever develop good strategies for drug control that don't come out of the experiences of drug users, and not just people who were in recovery, but people who were actively engaged in drug using behavior, some of which may be chaotic, but a lot of which is not.
I wish United Nations General Assembly Special has very good protective results. Thank you so much.